WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are we got a lot of madness going on around here. We got NFL free agency, Lamar madness, March madness, crab cake madness. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour is getting back out on the road, and when I do, we're going to be at Costas, which is why I'm wearing the Costas gear. They got me the white one. It almost looks fake. It almost looks green screen fake because I got rid of the yellow one. And told him I was tired of that Steelers yellow. We're going to be giving these away. It's the instant lottery, the old schoolers. Don't they look cool? They're kind of cool. I'll be giving these away at Costas in early April, as well as at Fadley's. You go to Baltimore Positive. I'm going to get the dates together and the times. And, of course, our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. I get to wear the funny floppy hat. Buy two, get two free, 2 years, 0% financing, and they put us on the road. And this guy is on the road to March Madness, opening day, all sorts of scratch-off things going on. We have a jackpot. John Martin joins us here. He is our guy from the Maryland Lottery, of course, the executive director of all things Maryland Lottery and gaming, and, of course, the gaming side, important, as I kick the weekend off with the Terrapins at Hollywood Casino in Perryville and the Barstool Sports, getting out and, you know, March Madness. It's beer, it's wings, it's food, it's burgers, it's brackets, and, of course, now it's mobile wagering, right, John?
All things to begin with M.
Including Martin. And
including
Maryland.
Martin. Thank you. You know what? It is crazy. It's crazy. Madness is correct. It is we are knee deep in it. I don't know if we're stepping into it or stepping out of it, but there's a lot going on here. And you know, you talk about the obvious things with the tournament. My friends at the American Gaming Association put out a press release the other day based on some research they have done. They estimate that about a quarter of the adult population, about 68 million people, will have some skin in the game, some wagering on the tournament. That's
not
more,
just watching the game. That's no, wagering on the game.
That's wagering, having some financial interest in it, whether it's brackets or whatever, going to a
office brackets are as old as time is, right? I mean, I think about my first brackets, and I've talked about it. My first brackets were in the 70s in 7th, 8th, and 9th grade when it was a thing you pulled out of the newspaper. I remember making copies. I'm going to get to Hollabird Middle School in trouble here.
Oh,
maybe
boy.
Mr. Statham, because Mr. Statham was on the Crab Cake Tour 2 weeks ago. You got to go see it, John. It was unbelievable. It's a drug city. It was incredible. But I remember making that. That's how far back it goes with friends. And then in the 80s and 90s, it took off. Now I'm sitting in Hollywood Casino. It's real. You can be anywhere, anytime. And there's certainly some danger involved in this that I know we want to point out on the front end of the back end of this segment this month.
Well, you know, absolutely. And today, as we speak, we have 10 retail locations and 8 mobile sports books to responsibly place your wager. Breaking news, Nestor, we may have 2 additional mobile sports operators up and running before the end of the tournament within the next 2 weeks. So stay tuned to all things sports wagering related and see if, in fact, we have additional entrants into that. But regardless,
you know, anytime
of where
you give me a tip like that, I know it's going to happen. So I'm gonna have to ask you next week and a week after. But I mean, you know things that are happening. That's good.
Yeah, I know things. I know things. Some things I prefer not to know, but these things are good things to know. And what it means, obviously, is that, and you know, for some people, they still prefer the social atmosphere, right? I mean, even though we've gone mobile, gone nuts with it, they like to get together with friends, go to one of our 10 retail sports books. You mentioned you're going to be at Barstool at Hollywood Perryville.
Might bet on the Terps. You know what I mean? It's more fun, you know.
You know, the why not? I mean, both men's and women's tournaments feature the Terps this year. So, you know, let's ride that as long as we can. We know that's exciting when you've got some local interest in it. But whether you're playing with friends at one of the 10 venues or you're playing on your mobile device, again, the key takeaway is play responsibly. Have a plan, stick to it. Remember, it's fun, it's entertainment. And if you find out you or someone you know has a problem with addictive behaviors, there are free resources at 1-800-GAMBLER and mdgamblinghelp.org.
All right. Well, for all of us that are going to gain weight over the weekend off of wings and beer and, hopefully the Terps go a little further and get through the West Virginia thing. There's still what we do here, and your 50th anniversary is like happening. It's on. It's real. We talked about it a lot last year and talked about the rollout and even talked about how neat some of this is. I want to give a shout out to Greg Kirk Van Zandt, GKV, and Roger Gregg. I saw you shout them out on LinkedIn. The commercials, they've won awards. The line of what you guys are doing, the rollout, the 50th, has really been fun and nostalgic, and I think people are seeing it now. And when I pull these out, at Drug City, and I know Costas is a part of this too, you get a lot of people out there that have been doing this a long, long time that remember all this cool stuff that you're putting out on the street and on billboards right now.
You know, it's great to go back, and the ticket you're referencing, our instant lottery $2 ticket, is a throwback to 1976 when we launched that very first scratch-off ticket. And today's contemporary lottery business features a number of second chance drawings. So not only can people win cash prizes, if those tickets are not winning tickets, they can submit them for drawings. And Charnita Davis of Baltimore, Maryland is our first $10,000 winner on the instant lottery ticket second chance. So congratulations to Charnita Davis. Also congratulations to an anonymous winner who showed up and won $5 million.
No wonder they were anonymous, right? I mean, on wow.
On our 50 years, $50 ticket, 50 years, first of three top prizes, top prize, $5 million. Had a chance to meet the winner the other day. And as you can imagine,
that's this thing, right?
That is that thing.
That is this thing right here, right?
Yep. That is that thing right there. And, you know, again, it's incredible when you look into someone's eyes. And they are a little glazed, stunned, but you realize you have just told them that you have a life-altering amount of money, and you wish them well, as I did, that they have a purpose for it, and they can take care of their family and obligations that they have. But it is amazing to see someone just realize that they are a millionaire. And, you know, $1 million used to mean something, and I'm old school. Nestor, you might be the same thing. You know, to me, if you win $1 million, that's still a pretty good day at the office.
I would be okay with that. I would take it.
Yeah, you know, sometimes people get a little jaded. You know, it's a $2 billion jackpot. And by the way, the Powerball jackpot is rising, just in case anyone in your household wasn't paying close attention. But I know they are. You know, jackpots rise and people got to get a little jaded. Oh, you know, it's only a couple hundred million. It's only, you know, a couple billion. You know what? $1 million still goes a long way. And we're happy to see people who are playing responsibly and also enjoying the benefits of some life-altering prizes.
I want to give you a little oxygen on the Orioles thing, too, and the baseball thing, because that's coming up. I mean, Lamar, free agent, Lamar, March Madness, Terps. Wow, we are 2 weeks out on opening day, 3 weeks out on Baltimore opening day, and you guys are always doing stuff with home runs. I always reference Gary Renicky, and if I ever get Rhino back on the program, I'm going to find out whatever happened to the person that won the $1 million back in the 80s. But
that was a great story.
That was $1 million on a grand slam, and at this point you'd be like, should get more than that for a grand slam. You know, it's like this is the time of the year and the tournament's barely started. They had a couple of tip-in games, but the odds of getting every bracket, the perfect bracket that ESPN used to do. I read the New York Times piece. It's like 3.9 bajillion. It's like not even a billion or a trillion. It's some illion that I don't even kajillion. I don't know how it is.
It kind of makes those Powerball and Mega Million numbers seem real, don't?
Yeah, you had a perfect bracket back in the 80s. Sure, yeah, you did. Yeah, yeah.
But you know what? The Home Run Riches contest is one we enjoy every year. And when you have the occasion to sit back and plan what you want to do for your 50th anniversary, as we have done here at Maryland Lottery and Gaming, you know, you look at things and say, what's a unique spin we can put on it? And for years, we have offered fans the option to submit their non-winning tickets into a drawing and be selected contestant of the game. And we do it for all 162 games of the year. And if they happen to be that game holder and an Orioles player hits a home run, they win $500 for every Orioles home run hit in that game. Well, this year we said, let's do something different. At some point in the season, they're going to hit their 50th home run. And traditionally, that's maybe late May, early June. So when that lucky contestant of the game happens to be there for that 50th home run, they will win $50,000. And then we'll have a second $50,000 prize at the end of the season for everyone who participates in the Home Run Riches second chance drawing will have an additional drawing for $50,000, basically the 163rd game of the season, if you will, but way at the end in October.
You know, I hold and harbor some deep thoughts about being involved in the Maryland Lottery and all the branding and stuff. I have an idea for you. Okay. This is a baseball idea. Ready?
Okay.
I know you're a Guardians guy. I'm an Orioles guy. So if the 50th home run, this is what I would offer if I were in those whiteboard rooms for ideas for the Orioles. And I love your idea, but here let's add a little spice to it. It's the 50th anniversary in baseball of the designated hitter. There's a 1 in 9 chance that the person that hits the home run will actually be a designated hitter. And if it's a designated hitter, I think the winner should get $50 million more dollars. What do you think?
Wow. You know, there's a reason you're on that side of the screen and I'm on this side of the screen. And
did I just do lottery karaoke? Did I just fail?
You know, I think as I'm told often here, stay in your lane.
My lane is sports and my lane is the designated hitter. It's the 50th anniversary. That's a big deal for me, who was a dumped a DH guy. You know what I mean? So I'm just trying to add a little. You said you were trying to add things. All right. So I got shot down by management. I understand that's happened before. John Martin is here. He is executive director of all things Maryland Lottery and Gaming. I'm going to be giving these away. One last thing for you, because I'm wearing my Costas shirt. And if we do this the right way and the times and the planes align, we're going to be over Costas next month doing a crab cake tour, which I did at Christmas time. I do a couple a year and we'll have great guests. I'll probably bring my friends from Trade Point Atlantic, probably bring Chuck down from the Fountain at Drug City, quite frankly. More Maryland Lottery vendors there for you. But I know there are some special places, and we're going to talk more about this next month. But there are places that have been with you for 50 years. And I wore this shirt literally because they've been 52 years. Longer than the designated hitters, Mr. Costas would tell you over there, because that happened in 73. I happened in 68, so I remember all of this stuff. But there are some legacy places, and you sent them to me, and the list is amazing because some of them are literally packaged goods stores or literally corner stores that embrace the lottery before there was a lottery. They're like, oh, we're going to have numbers and it's going to be legal in the state. And in 1972, 73, somebody came in and said, hey, you want to put in a machine then? What was it? Machines, right?
Yeah. Yeah. There were terminals put into stores, but
called terminals.
No, they weren't. They were called, I guess they're called machines back then.
Yeah. My God, machines. You're going to put a machine. We don't have any machines in here. Like, yeah. We have a refrigerator. We have this and that. But I mean, that's how I remember 73. I remember phones and that were connected to cords and like all that old phone booths, yeah, and things like that. Right. But for you guys going to these initial vendors where Costas still has a sign and a window and it's all original, that's where literally the first lottery tickets were ever sold.
Oh, it's a slice of history. And you know, I certainly wasn't there at the time. But you know, you go back and you think what pioneers these folks were. And like a lot of things and I'll flash forward to sports wagering, you know, the lottery back then, as sports wagering has been here more recently, are attempts to legalize and put structure to basically illegal operations.
No doubt about it. I watched Guys and Dolls. I saw Guys and Dolls in high school, you know.
Right, exactly. And so yeah, the numbers games on city streets, and that wasn't just a Baltimore thing. That was an urban thing all over the country.
The world.
Yeah.
The world.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't kid yourself. There's probably still some derivative of that going on today. But the reality is the lotteries were put in place to fund government causes and to regulate an unregulated market and to provide player protections so that a 50 cent dollar wager would pay off X amount of dollars and the player was guaranteed that they would get that money. And the funds then were directed, the profits were directed to state agencies to distribute to worthwhile causes throughout the jurisdiction. And that's what happens today and happens with sports wagering. And again, there's a lot of still black market illegal sports wagering going on. So we're not there yet. And I don't think, you know, legalizing lotteries and sports wagering and casinos will eradicate the black market, but you certainly want to direct players into more structured, safe, protected areas like traditional lotteries, casinos, and sports wagering vendors.
Well, it really is amazing coming full circle, John. And I've been talking about this on my, you know, my soapbox here most of the week is, yeah, I used to watch March Madness and get a little itchy because the kids were the only ones not making money, right? And this is before you could literally grab your phone on behalf of your agency and place a wager with one of them. But I think even back to, I'm from Dundalk, John. You know what I mean? I mean, literally, I'm from Dundalk, man. So my dad came home with pool carts on the point. Every March Madness we played, I was the guy holding a dollar from everybody that the winner was $40 or whatever in 1982, a bunch of guys in my middle school that, you know, I never won. And because I never picked Duke, I hated Duke. So Duke always cost me. I always took Xavier, the terms, but I've been talking about that in good fun all week. But the real story is I'm from Dundalk. Okay. So you play a $5 pool card, you play this or whatever, you got to go find Big Louie and get paid afterward. And that creates all sorts of chaos that we're all familiar with. Everybody in my listening audience that knows anything about sports, numbers, what's the over under, what's this, what's the point spread, like all that's been going on. We're now like 1 year and a couple of months into having it be a thing where you don't, you know, I've referenced everything. I've watched prohibition stuff and cannabis stuff, all of these things, vices and things that were really dangerous and things that people wanted to do and felt compelled to do. And now it's there. And I people come up to me all the time and they know about my relationship with you and I give these away and I talk about all, and they know traditionally I'm not a guy that talked a whole lot about betting in the way that maybe some of my competitors did. But this is universally a good thing when I think back to the trouble that could have happened at Halliburton if the wrong guy would have had the 40, but you know, just in, and I'm talking about as a kid, extrapolate that into the modern era. I don't think anyone can argue, knowing people that have been on sports, that we're not in a better place. And I want to say this on behalf of the kids playing basketball in the NIL. I don't know enough about that. And I'm trying to learn as a journalist and as a fan, like what all this means. But I do know I feel better about the kids dribbling a basketball, knowing everybody to the popcorn vendors making money, except the kids playing ball. And I think we're what do they say? The arc, you know, aims towards justice, right? I mean, I think we're getting to a point where this is regulating this part of sports wagering. As a guy who's done this for 31 years, this is a good thing, John. I believe that.
Well, and unfortunately, there is a counterpoint to all of that. And you know, not to make this a big, you know, social debate here, but, you know, there's a lot of responsibility that goes with that. And people will point to, again, particularly in March as Problem Gambling Awareness Month, you know, the addictive behaviors and the ability for people just to get their access to it. And maybe people who have some addictive behaviors or tendencies, you know, it happens in a lot of things. You know, you talk about prescription drugs, you talk about alcohol consumption, tobacco.
Well, you try to put up a stop sign somewhere, right?
Absolutely.
Like if it's a bartender, we're not serving that guy. We're getting him a cab. Yeah. If it's, you know, yeah, wherever that would be, that there has to be some sort of barrier to make sure that it remains safe and in the spirit that it's intended, which I talk about in the spirit's intended, because I've been sitting here talking sports for all these years, knowing people in my audience are doing this, and there's a lot of risk and no benefit to in regard to the activity of doing it. Now that we've had it legislated, I think it's very important that all of these, that all of these mobile devices have some sort of, you know, barrier for what people can do.
Sure. You know, the guardrails are there and they have to be used by individuals. And ultimately it is a personal responsibility thing. And, you know, we don't take this lightly. We don't just, you know, pass it off as, so what? You know, we know 95% of our people play the games as intended, have fun with it, play responsibly, budget their time, view it as entertainment, a social environment. But we know that roughly 5%, you know, are going to have some challenges. And we've got to address that so that the safety nets are there. And we have great relationships with people like the Center of Excellence from the University of Maryland and other responsible gaming entities across the country. And we're proud of our efforts in that to put up the stop signs, to be responsible in what we do. And when appropriate, make sure resources are available. As I said earlier, 1-800-GAMBLER and mdgamblinghelp.org website is are two excellent free resources for not only the individual, but any family or friends who are impacted as well.
So back, I purchased the station in 1999. I gained access in 1998. And this is, we had a web page, like a GeoCities web page or something at the time. And we had a fax machine here, John. And we would, on March Madness week, put the brackets out and people would fax. We would have, I would have interns here grading brackets. So I went from being a kid in Hollabird Middle, having 20 or 30 friends put a buck into a pool and maybe win $30 after a month, right? To everybody, hey, I picked Kansas. I picked, to getting the complaint department here, right? As far as who won the man cave at the end, right? In 1999. So I have experienced this as well as on a weekly basis, we had a pigskin pick'em. It had a name. And every week, the fax machine would pile up. We'd have 820 because, John, this is how I would go to the Maryland lottery. See, I have real listeners here. I know Arbitron says I had 820 people send me pool cards last week. So we it was a grading thing. We gave dinners away. Okay. So I guess I was involved in sort of lightweight prognostication in the early days, not as far back as Jimmy the Greek doing the intangibles, but close enough. John, I appreciate you. Anything, did I miss anything? Or you guys are doing some,
well, you know what,
we 50th anniversary, you're doing all sorts of stuff,
all sorts of things, and coming up next week, just as a tease, this is what we call a tease in the industry.
That's why I'm wearing the Costa shirt. I'm teasing the crab cake tour. Come on,
next week we introduce a new lineup of scratch off games. A couple things in there I think would be very interested in. Are you a fan of old arcade games?
Yes.
All right. We may have one of those available as a scratch-off ticket next week. Stay tuned. Or
hold
go to mdlottery.com.
Hold
you
on
can go
second.
To mdlottery.com right now and find out.
Old arcade game. So I'm just playing along with your thing here. I think old arcade, I think like skee-ball and like old school Ocean City. Pinball machines, pre Galaga Asteroids, Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, I think of old arcade games. So if this is a Pac-Man game or something that's really modern, you know, from like the 80s, something modern
from the 80s. Do you hear yourself talk? Modern from the 80s. Go ahead.
I'm just going to let it tease. That's all I'm going to say, because I don't know whether it's really old arcade or whether it's arcade that I would tell my kids is old, that to me is still like cool, like Pac-Man or Donkey Kong or Galaga, right, or
well, you know what, show up next week and we'll find out.
You're gonna make me go to mdlottery.com is what you're gonna make me do. John Martin is here. He has these and them and those. You can get them anywhere, but you can only get these from me on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour if you're following along next month. We're gonna be at Costas. We're gonna be at Fadley's. We do have Instant Lottery Scratch. Also, we'll be doing that. Our friends at Window Nation are also heavily involved in the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, invested in all, and they're gonna come out and have a crab cake with me at some point too, as is John. We're gonna be at Costas. We're gonna be at Fadley's. We're gonna be doing it the right way. Make sure you're gambling responsibly, folks. Make sure you're taking it easy this week. Don't get too bent up on the Terps this weekend. Please make it till Monday. Please beat Alabama and bring me good barbecue, Don Sheeler. There's a shout out. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson Bowl. John, my friends go to Birmingham. They better bring me back barbecue. We never stop talking Baltimore barbecue and positive. Stay with us.